Welcome to Lifelines. This is John Augustine. In the late 1950s, John Howard Griffin embarked on a mission through the American South. His plan was to disguise himself as a black man to experience the state of race relations from the other side. Afterwards, he returned to white life and published a book of his experiences, one of the most controversial and best-selling books of its day. For the title, he took a line from the great Harlem Renaissance poet Langston Hughes. "Rest at pale evening, a tall, slim tree, night coming tenderly, black like me." His cover was no simple makeup job. He consulted with a group of dermatologists who prescribed oral medication combined with ultraviolet light to darken his skin. Since his hair lacked curl, he shaved his head, even shaved the back of his hands. When the transformation was complete, Griffin could not recognize himself in a mirror. No one he interacted with on his journey ever penetrated his disguise. Over the next 7 weeks, he would visit New Orleans, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia, often traveling by bus. Public transportation has a special place in the history of segregation, from Homer Plessy to Rosa Parks, who had won her case 5 years before Griffin's odyssey. The hostility he felt from drivers and fellow passengers was chilling. Though he was never attacked, he was often menaced and sometimes threatened. He describes what it feels like to be confronted by the hate stare, a scowl of revulsion from white passersby, including the elderly ladies passing him on the sidewalk after church. How it felt to suffer discrimination. Bathrooms that he could not enter, chairs where he could not sit, store owners who would not serve him a glass of water. It was an imposed conspiracy of opposition to basic human rights. When he applies for a job in Mobile, the foreman refuses and tells him why. "No use trying down here," he says. "We're gradually getting you people weeded out." "Well, then how can we live?" Griffin asks. "That's the whole point," the foreman replies. "We're going to do our damnedest to drive any one of you out of the state." The irony of the old accusation that you people are shiftless in an economy where so many people work a shift, but where black applicants are denied the opportunity. The psychic toll on Griffin became unbearable. One night, as a guest in a black family's home, he woke up screaming. Soon after, he decided to change back, stopped taking his meds, went back to white. "Exultant liberation flooded through me," he testified. But he went back to black, and then back and forth, zigzagging, he calls it. But this made him schizoid. He was like a Marvel hero with a secret identity, changing color in a public toilet stall, then leaving quickly, hoping no one notices the contradiction of a white man coming out of a room clearly marked colored. Finally, exhausted, he went home. His experiment had been funded by a magazine in exchange for articles he wrote about the experience. When the story got out, everybody wanted to interview him, national reporters. But some people in his hometown hung him in effigy and threatened his family, to the point where his family moved away. But his book, Black Like Me, continued to roar through the 1960s, selling millions of copies, even becoming a popular high school textbook. Now it is an historical document. Two more significant points about Griffin's life before these events. 15 years earlier, he had been a young medic in France during the Nazi occupation in World War II, also a smuggler of Jewish children to safe havens. A courageous and idealistic young man. But he also suffered a concussion during the war that cost him his eyesight. For the next 10 years, he was blind, before the doctors could take the pressure off the optic nerve. Of all catastrophes that would strike a man who would go on to study an intolerance so visual and so visceral. This program has been Lifelines. I'm John Augustine.